My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I wish everybody could always see and feel the story behind the story with what happens here at 95.7 The Game as things unfold. But director of sports, Lucas Alexander, who is a USC honk, so he gets very, very excited when, you know, people like Sean Salisbury are ready to come on. But then again, at the same time, he has spent the majority of the day expressing some sort of pessimism because Sean, I hope it's okay, Sean, that we bring people behind the curtain a little bit. Sean deals with like a lot of storms that come through where you live in Texas. And seemingly, they only really hit when like whoever's the god of weather knows that you're about to come on our show. And yeah. Right?
It's fascinating, dude. And just if it hits, I'm in like in the Fulshear Katy area, which I'm in the outskirts of Katy, Texas, which is in Fulshear, and it's still a place. Things are going up. We got like one cell tower. I mean, for all that, there's like the biggest school system on the planet is here. And so it is absolutely nuts trying to keep up. If the wind blows 8 miles an hour, I'm not going to see your face on the internet or anything when we're doing a show. So yeah. And it's inevitable. It's like, it knows when I'm doing media stuff, let's just screw with Sean. But fortunately we're getting this in and I hope it sounds clear, but it finds my house and I'm in the path of everything. It just seems like, let's go screw with Sean and his interviews and his career.
So no, but
hopefully you guys can hear me. Okay.
You sound great. You sound clear as a bell, like you're sitting right next to us. And I'm going to take some credit because I'm an optimistic person. And all day, I'm like, no, it's gonna be fine. And Sean, I think this is gonna work.
Maybe our best one ever. How's that? We'll battle the storm with the storm, and this is it, buddy. I got you.
That's a high bar, but let's try. Here we go. One of our favorites right here on the River Islands guest line, Sean Salisbury joining us on Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Dibbs is out, so you just got me, Sean, so let's hang for a little bit. Okay, the obvious first thing, what is your reaction to the contractual holdout offseason that the 49ers have experienced?
Can be a distraction. I've always told people in my career now and at any part, and when you're a player, you know, when you go through guys that are talking about holding out or stars that you need that are holding out, is I don't get in their wallet. Never have. You know, who is it for me? Or most players don't, in truth, Mark. They stay out when it comes to the wallet part. Now, they want their best players there. They want their guys there. But we usually, when it comes to that, especially in these situations, you usually stay out of them. Wish the player well, but need him as well. Now, if this was in the middle of a season and you decided not to show up and you said, like in college, you know, when guys are holding out of bowl games and did something like that where it affected the team or you bailed on them, how's that? It would be different. People don't consider holdouts in training camp bailing on somebody, at least the players don't. So it's been interesting this offseason, but Ayuk got paid. sometimes these so-called distractions, because players in the locker room deal with this stuff better than probably fans and media do, because we're frenzied. What's going to happen? Is Ayuk going to be there? What's going on with Trent? But when they are actually the players, it's not that big a distraction until the game of the week of the game, you're opening, or a week of getting ready to play, and you don't have your best player on the offensive line there. That's when it becomes our wide receiver who will be there. So that's when it becomes the distraction. During training camp, you hope you trust veterans to get themselves right. And with Brandon, and now in the case of Trent or anywhere else in the league, you hope they come in ready to go. So I don't think the distraction leading up to this is that big a deal because they got theirs, but it will be a bigger distraction if it continues to linger and he stays out.
Okay, Sean, what about ramp up? In other words, I know Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk have worked together now for a couple of seasons, but you were a quarterback. If you didn't get to work with one of your top receivers until the week of a game as a season started, is that enough time?
Doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't. I'm going to tell you why. If you're in the seventh grade or a ninth grader learning new guys, a curl's a curl is a curl. You know, you may miss one, but when a guy's running a curl, you know, it's like riding that bike. You don't forget how Ayuk ran dig routes and comebacks and shallow crossers and how Brock throws and understands the timing. It may take him a few catches during the week to get ready. I'm not concerned about their end game. Well, does he trust him running a 15-yard in cut? That's not a big deal. I'm more concerned. It's like even during the season, people say, quarterback receivers, you guys got to be on the same page. Of course you do, but that curl's a curl's a curl. I'm always more concerned with the continuity of like an offensive line. If Trent holds out that with those five guys up front, you want so much continuity to know left talking to right, right guard talking with center, those things. And also with the big fellas, always what kind of conditioned are they in? What kind of condition? Because you're not conditioned, and football condition is different than running on a track. You go in there and the hammy hurts and then you miss 2 weeks because it's hanging around. So I'm more concerned about that continuity. I am not 1 ounce concerned about when a receiver comes in later, a quarterback, if that, you know, that camaraderie works. The whole offense may be timing-wise, but not the one-on-one stuff that means, you know, Ayuk running routes and Brock knowing where to throw it. That's the simple fix and doesn't take but a practice in my mind.
Okay, and what about the 49ers side of this? This is the third offseason in a row where there's been some sort of a prickly holdout or contractual conversation, and now next year, guess what? They get to do their quarterback.
Right. So we've had Debo, Ayuk,
then Bosa, now Ayuk slash Trent, and then now your quarterback is due.
Brock Purdy. Yeah. Well, one thing I think we would all say is, can we get out in front of this and start earlier so we don't have to deal with it? But you know, they've had tremendous, meaning the 49ers, but they've had tremendous success getting it done and making sure those guys are happy. Listen. This is it's like I always laugh during like when the mediation for baseball players or when you're negotiating, everybody wants to tell you what you don't bring to the table. We're not going to pay you this. And the player wants more to tell you what he brings to the table. And, you know, the negotiation, you got the agent in the middle coming back and telling you what's going on. And everybody's mad. And they're saying too much and not enough. And then when it's over, everybody hugs and it's good to go. Got paid. So you're hoping that happens. But there is that point of breaking point where it gets to where you either got to trade them, you either got to sign them, you either got to overpay them, or they come in disgruntled. But most players I know, when they come in, when they finally do get paid, they understand the ego part and playing their type of game for themselves and for the team. So I don't think that's a big issue. But, yeah, the 49ers, I don't know what's next. You know, with Brock Purdy, that's going to be big money if he continues to play like he has the first two seasons. And that one you probably have to get out. Quarterbacks at some point, I believe, Mark, I think they should be salary cap separate. I do, just off the beaten path here. So at some point in time, we're going to have quarterbacks are going to have their own salary. You can pay them what you want. They're going to be the outlier, and then the salary cap dealing with the team. But in the case of the 49ers, that's obviously not going to be the case. Get out in front of it early because you do need your quarterback in camp. That's what you do need, and you don't want to have to face that a year from now.
Sean Salisbury with us on 95.7 The Game. I want to reiterate, Sean, you sound great. Absolutely.
Thanks,
killing
buddy.
It. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, back to it. Actually, can we do that quick aside with the idea of quarterbacks being salary cap separate? Because if that were to happen, wouldn't that kind of take away the advantage of nailing a draft pick with a young quarterback?
Sure. But you know what? You also want to keep your star. I mean, when you say take advantage of nail it, when you go out and get a seven, you mean like a seventh rounder or a guy you've groomed? What part are you talking about?
Either way, like even if Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are awesome, those two teams have a little built-in advantage for 4 years while other teams are doing $55 million per year, you know?
Well, yeah, and that's just the luck of the draw. But remember, why were they picking Caleb and Jaden?
Because they didn't. Suck, because right? Because they're terrible.
They're right. So and it also helps the lower teams become better and stay better longer. So I actually think it would create more parity. And what you wouldn't see, quarterback, that's like the guarantee. If you've got your star, like the Cowboys are going to face with Prescott, the 49ers are going to face with Purdy with their contracts, and so on, is if you have your star, you're going to say, listen, that now, and you have the floor and the ceiling on what you can spend on the rest of the players. But if you have that, it gives everybody else a fighting chance where, okay, if you got a quarterback and you're battling on the salary cap, it gives everybody else a fighting chance to catch back up. And money wise, if you got their quarterback and you're dealing with your salary cap, you can all spend the same in the cap. And if they're paying their quarterback 55 and you're not paying him yet, it is an advantage, but you got the disadvantage because you obviously lost out and we're picking too high. So I think at some point we're going to address the quarterback position and salary cap and the way to approach it. And I actually think it'll be more of a great equalizer than a bummer for the teams that aren't very good.
Sean Salisbury with us on Witherden Dibbs 95.7 The Game. Hey, speaking of Caleb and Jaden, you all in on both, on one, on neither? What are your thoughts?
I'm in heavy on both, and for different reasons. Those were the two best players, obviously, Caleb the last 2 years, and Jaden deserved the Heisman last year, and they both incredible skill set. I was so impressed with Jaden Daniels, Mark, and the way he, from the first year he got with Brian Kelly to last year, the transformation in his deep ball game, the intermediate to deep, and taking shots. I watch every one of their games because I go on in New Orleans, and he was afraid almost to take deep shots the first year with Brian Kelly. Well, he transformed himself, and you saw what they did, and he played great. I love his feet. I love his ability to layer the football. So he's good, and he can play in structure as well, which is impressive and important at the next level, which he's about to face. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of his, and I like his attitude. And with Caleb, listen, regardless of how people have viewed his leadership with the way he dresses or painting the nails, that stuff doesn't matter to me, especially if you win. But you do have to be able to deal with the fellas and some laughs in the locker room and self-deprecating. But I know this, for two straight years, if you combine both those years, there was no better player in college football. And when people talk about, well, I don't like him, what don't you like? The guy made every single play on a team. He'd have to score 44 and they'd give up 48. I mean, he had to literally make every play and be a hero. If he wasn't, SC wasn't winning because they don't play any defense there the last couple of years. So for me, it's how good will he be if he has to stay on schedule all the time. But you want to talk about dynamic playmaker, off schedule, on schedule, accurate, powerful arm. The guy's just got great football IQ too. So I expect big things from both, but it'll also be the guys around him. What are those guys going to elevate? Because both these guys are going to go through rookie slumps, but they're also going to have the ability with their skill set to leave you with your jaw hanging down and the wow factor and to elevate the guys around them. That's another thing. Who's going to make the other guys better? I think both did in college at times, other than the defensive side for SC. But I expect both to be good. I think Caleb's going to have to become more of a structured player and then branch out. I think Jaden's probably a little bit better structure now, but does both. I expect both of them to be stars and franchise quarterbacks in the league, but you're going to have to build around them. And I think both of these teams will be better, not only at that position, but on both sides of the ball this year.
Yeah, I agree with that statement for sure. Okay, Sean, let's go back to the 49er wide receiver room because I got a couple questions, especially because you were saying as a quarterback, no big deal if a receiver comes in kind of late. What if that receiver is a rookie, though? Like Ricky Pearsall's injuries and how they've sort of stunted camp, what does that mean for his development?
Now, that's a big difference now because you're that guy that you've never worked with, right? Now, and it's not even just the physical part for me, Mark, that goes on. It's the mental part of just going through it when you're not out there and you're not doing those things. I understand meetings and playbooks, but I like having him around. It is a major difference from a veteran to a rookie, simply because I know nothing about him other than what you saw on tape. I'm talking about if you're Brock Purdy or if you're a member of that offensive staff. And so you go through you know, those things in training camp, walk through them. And those are the times you're talking with each other on the field. Oh, this happened. Let's do this. So, yeah, it's a big difference. And you're coming off, you know, you're banged up and don't get the work. So you got to do double time when the work, when you can do the work. So that is a much different than watching IU and Purdy the last 2 years do their thing. They're just getting to know each other. The mental side, they are getting to know, but not enough work on the field. So that's going to be the part. That's going to be the part of playing catch up. So yes, that's much deeper. Younger players and guys who haven't been in the league longer, or new players that haven't been with you, that's where more of the stress comes in. Not with a veteran who's performed and knows what Brock Purdy's all about.
Okay, now what about the guy who has been all over the headlines all summer long? Like, what is your overall take? How good is Brandon Ayuk?
Oh, I think that when the receivers come up in your mind, we Mike Evans has been doing it for so long, but Jefferson, Chase, Cooper Kupp's always doing his thing. I mean, those are the names. Tyreek Hill, he's in that. Is it fair to say, you know, we got like our quarterbacks? I'm trying to think of the, oh my gosh, top shelf, can't do without. And then just below it, like the 7 and 8 guy, the 6 and 7 guy, I would probably put him there. I think he's probably in the second five if I'm looking at just the overall position. And you've got to overpay to keep good players. And if people in San Francisco think that Ayuk's overpaid. But we're at a time now with all this player, not only empowerment, but with contracts, you can't afford to let the core of your team go. That's why receivers are making what quarterbacks were making, 3 years ago?
Yep.
And more than some are making. So, Mark, I think he's probably just outside the top five and in the next five, however you shuffle him. But he's a big-time player, and he's a perfect player for the San Francisco 49ers and what they do.
The concern I have in this moment in signing him is not his abilities. It's the fact that it may mean the end of Deebo Samuel in San Francisco. Do you think it makes sense for a football team to pay two receivers, you know, north of $25 million a year?
Well, if it ends up with more trophies and more contract extensions for everybody, yeah, but you're exactly right. It's hard to do. It is extremely hard to do when you say, okay, and you go through your meeting, say, we got this much tied up to this position and a little leeway for the Jeffersons and Chases of the world. Realistically, probably not. Selfish, greedy reasons for me and my love for watching the 49ers offense and how much I like Deebo. I'm greedy. I want to pay them both, and if it means overpaying a little, but then you got to start to look at the rest of your roster and with salary cap and where it's going. So, yeah, and Mark, that's a great point by you that a lot of people aren't talking about of what the collateral damage is with the 49ers when this happens. And they're telling you that as a pure wide receiver that Ayuk is going to be here, what, the next 4 years, and that maybe that Deebo, after they went through this, is going to have to be the one to sacrifice, takes extra punishment from running in the backfield. But I love them both, man. I'm greedy. But regardless, Deebo's going to get paid, whether it's in San Francisco or somewhere else, and that time presents itself. But I know where you're going with it. I think you like one better than the other, and the one that you like is going to be up for contract sooner than later.
Yep, that's where I stand at this moment, no doubt about it. What about all of the hype in general, whether it's big-name players, expectations, the near-miss Super Bowl? Is that a problem for the 49ers this year, or do you think they're equipped to handle it?
They've handled plenty of hype plenty of times before, and it doesn't matter what the hype, what part of hype, whether it's quarterback controversies, whether it's
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Expectations, whether it's frustration, all those things that we hear. Listen, they're a lightning rod every year. There's about five or six teams that are going to get extra too much pub, too much blame, are going to get too much attention. It just happens. And 49ers are one of them every year, especially when they're good. And the expectations should be high. And they've gotten close a couple times, and they've come up short. And they're still not where they want to be when it comes to crowning themselves in these last handful of years in February. So I would imagine, judging from the character and the depth of positions on that team, and from the front office and the head coach who's been there, and they've suffered through some difficulties, and with the roster, the core, and when you get Trent back in and they're going, I mean, there's stars at every position. And I would like to think that they can handle the praise. They can handle also not only the success, but also the failure that goes with it at times when you lose, and all the not only expectations, but what's going to happen next. What if you get there again? All the what ifs that we go through on our shows and that they go through in the media and in locker rooms. So I would think they're equipped to handle any part of the pub and any part of the expectations, because, damn, when it comes to expectations, who of people around the country don't still think 49ers, Eagles, the Detroit, Green Bay's on the rise. But when you're talking the top five teams, they're always going to be mentioned when it comes to expectations. And mine are no less this year. Matter of fact, I expect them to be better, because if they can get their guys in, because I think Purdy, another year of experience. You've got a settled Brandon Ayuk. I mean, you've got the Kittles. I mean, they're loaded. So expectations are always going to be there. That can't run and hide from those, my brother. You just got to deal with them. And the team feels, I think they're equipped to do it, because I think they've got some moxie, and we've seen it.
Amen to that. Sean Salisbury with us here on 95.7 The Game. You mentioned maybe a better Purdy. Like, what do you want to see from him that you haven't seen yet?
Well, I think that the bandwidth with him, and I think they're starting to expand it. I think we get this feeling of, well, he can't make all the throws because he's not big and physical. That's wrong. He can, where he makes up with maybe not have an overpowering arm strength or that superstar, when I talk about just freak show ability. He's underrated as a runner. We know his toughness. I just think, for me, it's putting himself in more mental and emotional and that part of the game of understanding where all the conflicts are on a defense. Because a guy like him, who isn't, like I said, if we had a superstars competition, he's not going to win it, but he's going to do everything well. And I'm such a fan, and I love his – you can't question a guy who's the last pick of a draft's toughness and working through a first-round pick right, and finding his way there and doing his thing. So I'm not worried about that with him. I think it's situational football for me, of just making sure. Because, Mark, when you're in this, people look at the big physical guy who can make all certain throws on, into a coffee can size window. When I say physically limited, it's not that Brock, I think we underrate his physical skills, but he's not that super, the howitzer arm and all those things. So he's got to stay ahead of the game with knowing where the conflict is even quicker. You listen to Brady talk about what made him great, even aside from some of the obvious tangible ones, was his ability to know the defense pre-snap. And then you execute post-snap. I tell kids that I train all the time this, listen, find the conflict, whether it's in your life or whether it's in a defense. Find the conflict. And when we're looking at defenses, once you know the conflict, the answers to the test are pretty easy if you've prepared. If I give you the SAT test 2 months before the SAT test, then it's on you to make sure, doing all that, well, studying the answers to get yourself ready to get a perfect score on it so you can go to any college you want. Same thing here. So for me, it's just the constant development in understanding what coverages are trying to do, not only to Brock Purdy, but also to the 49ers as an offense and their offensive approach. And one last thing, even at Brock, 3 years in the league, MVP candidate, all that, I still continue to spend time with my own defensive coordinator and ask him, how would you defend us? And what's the key? What do you see with me? An hour a week, not just offensive, but defense. Spend it with defensive staff, because I think there is another level to his game, and the fact that he's got great timing and understands that It's all going to be once he grasps even more what's going on and how they're trying to stop him and this offense, you get ahead of it and you're out in front of it. And it's you're having great vision. And you know what I mean by vision, but vision being out in front of the next read and the next read and the next defense and week after week and sustaining that. I think there's another level to Brock Purdy's game, and I already hold him in high regard. And we should have expectations for him because he's proven it. But his toughness is not in question, mental or physical.
Sean, you're the best. And we literally did not miss one word.
That makes me happy, my man. You know I love coming on with you, and I get fired up, and you got me. I was thinking college football all weekend. I'm like, well, damn, I got these good 49ers. We got the – I mean, we're ready. So it's this college football now just got in the way of our NFL next week.
Right?
We'll enjoy it all. And always honored to be on with you, brother.
Dude,
love it.
Thank you so much, and stay safe out there, man.
Appreciate you, man. Anytime.
Okay, there he is. He's the best. Sean Salisbury.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.